Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we will be taking callers 646-716-9663. I'm very pleased to have David Young, an incredible musician, an incredible light worker with us tonight. Welcome, David.
Thank you so much. Nice to be with you.
David, tell us how you turned from skeptic into believer.
I mean, regarding channeling?
Channeling, etherical energies, being connected to source, light, that kind of thing.
Well, I had been meditating starting when I was 22 for about a half hour a day, and I didn't believe in channeling. It just didn't register with me. And 2010, these bizarre things started happening in my life that all connected to George Harrison from the Beatles, and I resisted it every inch of the way.
up until
after about 2 years of it, there had been enough things that convinced me that it was real, you know. And then any time I would go to a professional medium, they would, you know, George would pop up right away. And so that really helped. But, you know, consistency is a unique thing, you know, because science is based on when you have different elements that get put together and the same outcome, you know. And all of these crazy experiences that I was having, they all connected to George Harrison. So every medium I ever spoke to practically told me the same thing as the one before. And so I just, that's what made me believe that this was really a true interdimensional relationship.
I guess a long, long string of confirmations will do that to most people.
Yeah.
I believe that music has its own dimension, and I believe that angels see music and hear color. So whenever we're listening to music, that the angels are around us seeing this wonderful color show. Tell me a lot about being a musician and how you got there and where you are right now.
Well, I started playing the recorder in third grade, and I just kept playing it. And as I got older, I started to play other instruments like the guitar and singing and writing. And then I came back to playing the recorder when I was about 30, just because I was broke. I was living in California. I started playing in Venice Beach, and I made some tapes with a woman who played the harp, and we named these tapes Celestial Winds and sold 10,000 copies of the tapes at the beach, and then sold 100,000 CDs together, and then we went our own ways. And now I do all spiritual events. I've recorded 55 different albums of my music with the recorders and all different other instruments. And I agree with you that the angels like working with music. Music carries a vibration. And, you know, every time I play, I'm always opening myself as a channel for divine spirit. And so, you know, I think the angels actually like
I agree, and having had 2,000 clients a year for God knows how many years now, people tell me a lot of stuff. And what I consistently hear is I was listening to this song, and I decided I loved her and I wanted to marry her. I was listening to this song, and I made this decision to quit my business and go do blankety blank. I was listening to this song, and I decided I had enough drugs in my life. And consistently, you know, 30% of my clients, when they come to me, and they're telling me their story about 30% of them make significant life decisions when a piece of music resonates inside of them, where the change, the new them, whoever it is, or with a decision that is positive for them. And people, sometimes it takes a lot to get it into people's head that music can be one of the most healing things that you do. And I do, you know, I lay on hands, I do lots of stuff, but the music can really, really heal. David, tell me, you play, is that two flutes or two recorders at one time?
I call them flutes, but they're actually recorders, because if I call them recorders, people ask me how many tracks they are. You know, it's actually a Renaissance flute. In German, it's called a Blockflöten. In England, they call it a Descant, and it's called a recorder. They come in all different sizes. The soprano is what everybody learns in third grade, and then the next size up is an alto and a tenor and then a bass. And I play two different sizes at one time in harmony, which creates this triharmonic tone, and it just transports people. It's ever since I'm a little kid, I've been transporting people. I like to use different like reverbs and effects that make it sound more heavenly now. And it just has a beautiful way of lifting people out of their troubles or just lifting people into a higher state of awareness. And it's a beautiful thing that I get to do something I love so much that actually is so beneficial for people in so many ways. This every day, about 300,000 people listen to my music in hospitals, spas, healing centers, wellness centers, on different television shows. And I always have that sound because I played two flutes at one time, and it's easy to recognize.
Yeah, I actually have one of your CDs I think you gave to me in INETS in Denver that I play every once in a while during one of my meditation or church service thingies, and people really like it. All of us want to expand so much, and all of us do this heavy, deep work so we can reach levels of consciousness that are unreachable to us. And many people find many ways. Many people take LSD. Many people study 20, 30 years with a teacher to reach into the higher dimensions. But if you listen to music with your whole body, music will take you to dimensions higher and higher dimensions that you cannot go yourself. And when you go into these dimensions, you have a higher awareness or consciousness, and you're able to make choices and decisions, and you're able to see possibilities, feel possibilities that you can't when you're just hearing your brain, your heart, your own lungs. And so yeah. Music is an incredible tool to take you places that you haven't been in dimensions. So I guess, what is the thing that you're proudest of all the you have so many things you've done. And what is your website?
My website is davidyoungmusic.com.
And we can purchase your CDs and your Channeling George Harrison book, right?
Yep. The CDs that are best for meditation are under the category that's simply called meditation. And I have a written book that's called Channeling Harrison, and that's my experiences with George from 2010 till 2013. And that's put out by the guy who put out the book Conversations with God, but you can get it on my website. But the newest thing that I finished that I'm very, very proud of is the audiobook that's called My Experiences with Lennon and Harrison. I had these experiences with George for 3 years, and I had no idea that there was somebody else involved. There were unique things that kept happening that kept, like, pulling my attention to think about John Lennon, but I could have never imagined that there were two of them, you know, because it took me enough consistent, incredible synchronicities to believe that George was really involved, you know. And then in 2013, I found out in October that John was his partner, and it was an incredible shock and a surprise. I'm sure you can imagine. You know, I didn't really have a connection with John Lennon. You know, I didn't really have a connection with George Harrison either, because I was a little too young to be a Beatles fan, and I was more into hard rock music when I was a teenager. You know, and so the audiobook is 7 hours. It's 5 discs. If you can get it on CD or you can get it as a download. But it's 5 discs, and it's 80 minutes on each disc. And it tells the whole story of how it started and everything all the way up until about 4 months ago when I finished it. And John and George used a famous channeler named Robert Murray to contact me because, you know, I was really in the dark with all this. I didn't understand so many things about it. And so they used this channeler to, who I've never met physically, but I talk to him just about every day. They actually convinced him to talk to me every day. And it's been totally helpful. But John explained through Bob Murray that George took care of the background music for the whole audiobook, because underneath all of the stories that I'm telling is my meditation flute music from my various 55 different CDs. And when I was working on it, it was so unique because I would finish telling a story and then I would get silent and I'd ask inwardly, you know, what music should go underneath this talking? And I would get this 2-second snippet of a part of one song. And it was so incredible because every single one of those snippets that came into my mind was absolutely perfect. The engineers in the studio couldn't believe how, I mean, it was like every single thing I did nothing wrong. You know, everything was just magical. So when the audiobook was done, I called up Robert Murray to talk to George and John. And I had talked to Robert Murray every day for an hour or every other day for a year and a half. And so I would call Robert Murray, and even before the phone would ring, George and John would show up in his room because the line of communication was so strong. They would show up in his room, and then he knew I was going to call. So I called him up, and I said, I'd like to ask George how he chose all the music from all of my 55 CDs. And he said he'd be happy to tell me. He said, in my mind, there is like a file for each album that I've made, the 55 different albums, you know. And inside each file, there's like 10 chapters, if there were 10 songs in that file for that album. And he was able to look through each one of the chapters and find the perfect piece of music, and then he would take a 2-second snippet and put that at the front of my mind. He told me that without me explaining that I kept getting this 2-second snippet anytime I would ask inwardly what should be the background music for this story.
I think that's pretty profound. Usually I found people who channel great people were never, ever actually interested in them in a large sense or a big fan in them. And then when you channel somebody, they come into somebody who's not going to be a gung-ho fan, who's not going to be gushing, and someone who they can talk to and communicate in a very clear manner. So for you being indifferent, I think that's a very positive and one of the reasons you were chosen for this, because it would not be tainted with, you know, the fan energy or the, oh, my
yeah.
God, you know, that perception. And I'm going to make a prediction for you. This is not the only musician that you will hear from in great detail this lifetime. So I expect somewhere around 16, 17, I'm going to look on your website, and I'm going to see that you have brought forth someone else.
Well, it's funny you should say that, and it's something that I normally don't talk about in interviews, just because since the title of the book is My Experiences with Lennon and Harrison, normally in the interviews I just talk about George and John. But there is somebody else who has a couple of chapters in the audiobook. And I was living in Southern California, and every Thursday night I would go to this club where they had an R&B band, and I never really played R&B music. I really don't know how to play it on the guitar, you know, or the flutes. And I would get up and sing a Marvin Gaye song that's called Let's Get It On, because that was the only R&B song that I knew. And I'm a white guy, and, you know, half of the people in this club were white and half of the people were black. And every time I would sing this song, all the black chicks used to look at me going, is that voice really coming out of that white guy? You know, because it didn't really go with my image, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called up Bob to talk to George and John, and I explained this. And I said, you know, we should write something that has a little bit of an R&B groove to it, because every time I sing Marvin Gaye's song, you know, people really, really connect with it and they go nuts. And about a month later, this song came out, and I had forgot the conversation, and I went into the studio and I started recording this song, and it was like a whole different energy that was coming through me. And so I called up Bob and I said, you know, I'm working on this song and it doesn't sound like me. It doesn't sound like something John normally writes through me, and it doesn't sound like something George normally writes through me. Who is this? And they said, well, when you suggested that we get together and write something that sounded like Marvin Gaye, instead of us trying to write something that sounded like Marvin, we just got Marvin involved, and so he's been writing through you, and that's where that different sound is coming from.
I'm not surprised. And one thing I want to say about charismatic people and usually world leaders and saints and people in good bands and famous actors is they have charisma.
Yeah.
And just because they step out of their body doesn't mean they lose their charisma. And they're on the other side and they've written 1,000 songs and have 1,000 things to say to people who are still running around being changed by their musical gifts. I'm not surprised that these would be the people that end up being channeled the most. You know, we never see Sister Mary Ann from downtown Detroit, you know, St. Ladislaus, Hamtramck Nunnery. We never see those type of people being channeled. Most of the type of spirits are channeled usually had fairly charismatic lives that gave a lot to other people. So I'm not surprised that it would be another musician.
Yeah. You know, I have to say that when I was having these experiences with George back in 2010, and he would show up in recording studios, he would show up in my dreams, and whatever he would tell me in the dream would manifest in my life 2 days later or a couple of weeks later. It was incredible, but even though I didn't know that much about him, I really didn't. I knew he was friends with Eric Clapton. I knew he had something to do with the concert for Bangladesh. I knew he was one of the Beatles, but that was really all I knew about him. And, you know, you were talking before about, you know, when a spirit connects with you, and if you're a gigantic fan, that gushingness, I mean, that just gets in the way, because it's hard enough dealing with the whole thing when it's a new experience for somebody like me. It was hard enough dealing with it without being a gigantic fan of his. But the more experience that I had with him, you know, I mean, George has an incredible amount of spiritual energy, and he's incredibly charismatic. I mean, the guy is just cool.
Really? And we can't. And David, what is your website? Where can we get this incredible George Harrison book and the audiobook?
It's on my website, David Young Music. And if you just click on books, you know, you can listen to. There's a 5-minute audio sample. That's from the book. That's really very intriguing. I mean, if that doesn't get your attention, well, I don't know what in the world could get your attention, because it's the things that these guys have done in my life. I really didn't think that these things were possible. I'd been meditating for 27 years when this started, and I could have never in a gazillion years ever thought that I'd be experiencing what I've experienced over the last 4 years.
I think that's pretty miraculous for you. And when we reach a level of mastery in one of the things in our life, usually something else opens us up to master another vibration, another energy. It doesn't mean we leave our music behind or we leave whatever our first point of mastery was. It just continues to open up for us as long as we're in that very deep connection. Tell us a little bit about your life. Where do you live?
Well, I live about 40 minutes from Philadelphia now. I met a woman in February who lives outside of Wilmington, Delaware. I'd never been to Delaware. I used to live in Los Angeles for 9 years, Minneapolis 9 years. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I travel. I do events. I do about 3 events each week, 3 different cities each week, where I do these meditation, these flute meditation events where I'll play the flute for a half hour. After 3 minutes, people are completely spaced out of their body and tuning into another dimension or connecting with their guides or their loved ones who have already crossed over to the other side, you know. And so if after 3 minutes people are having spiritual experiences, you can imagine how deep they go after 30 minutes. And then we discuss, you know, people's experiences, and it's nice so other people who are a little bit more shy will open up and share their experiences. And then we do a second round of 30 minutes of me playing the flute, and then we discuss those. And in the second 30 minutes, people are always having the most profound experiences. A woman on Saturday night, she was hosting the event. It was in Massachusetts, and her entire family, of all of her loved ones who have crossed over to the other side, each one of the members of her family gave her a gift individually, one at a time. And then when her whole family had given her a gift, then Buddha came and gave her a gift. And that was the first time somebody shared an experience with Buddha at one of the meditations. But it's been so consistent having Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Sandalphin, and Metatron.
It show up,
Jesus,
yeah.
They show up. You know, the vibration of my music, from what George just told me, he says that there's so much spiritual energy in my flute music that when I'm doing these events, people up to the third dimension of heaven can tune in heaven and actually experience the workshop that I'm doing on Earth, because there's that much energy that's in it. And, you know, when people are in the room, if you have 30 or 50 or 100 people meditating, that's a lot of spiritual energy in one place, you know.
Yeah, and then with their spirit guides and angels crowding in there, too, it's a packed room sometimes. Well, I invite you to come to Hot Springs. I live in a 6,000-round-foot geodesic dome, and I've had people like Stephen Halpern, and the acoustics are eerily beautiful in the dome.
I'd love to come.
And we'll set you up. We'll get you talking with the secretary. We'll set you up, and we get people coming from Little Rock and Memphis and Shreveport to come to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And there's so much crystal, and you can walk out my driveway and you can find crystals, you know. There's so much crystal, and then we have all that hot mineral water bubbling up here that the amplification of music, and plus the dome, is really very, very incredible. And I'd love to sponsor you here, and that would be nice for the dome. The dome's already telling me it would love to have you. So do you still play guitar at all?
I do play guitar. You know, you touched on something before of when you master something, you know, guides come to you to help you master something else. And
right.
When I had already sold 1 million CDs of my meditation music before the experience with George started, and I had mastered that, you know. You know, my number one meditation CD is Creation. You know, if you saw the movie The Secret, two people in The Secret use my music in their meditation workshops. And there's another CD called Waves of Serenity, and there's Healing Chakras. These are different albums that I've done that are really wonderful for meditation. But I really felt when this experience with George started, there was something in my intuition that told me that he was interested in my flute music. Okay, and as the years went along, even though I was a singer and a guitar player, nobody even knew that I was a singer and a guitar player because people just knew me for my flute music. And one of the things that George and John have worked with me on is songwriting, you know, because when I used to play electric guitar when I was younger, I played hard rock music, like heavy metal music. And, you know, they wanted to help me write better songs. And so on the audiobook, on each disc, if the disc is 80 minutes, about every 20 minutes or so, one of the songs that I wrote with George or John or with the both of them is, you know, with me singing and playing the guitar and, you know, other instruments as well. But, you know, it's another dimension. It's another side of what I do. And even though the flute music is the most healing work that I do, you know, the vocal songs that I write with George and John are, they're very beautiful, very spiritual. And, you know, when I do these events, I always end up singing a couple of songs just so people can hear what George and John have been up to, you know, because you can really tell that George and John are co-writing these songs with me.
Well, I'm sure you can. And what, how is traveling? I used to travel 250 days a year for like 15 or 20 years, and you're traveling 40 weeks of year. A year right now and doing these little seminars and these little concerts. What are you discovering along this traveling path?
Well, it's nice to, when you go back to a city and you have friends that you met, let's say the year before,
mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful. It's like an extended family. I love that. And you know, when you share a deep spiritual experience, you know, people will never forget you when you've done something that has affected them in a positive way like that, you know.
I'm to the point where I'm getting, you know, my grandma had a healing with you back in 1970, and my grandmother and mother talked about you for 25 years, and now I need a healing, and you're like, wow, how come I didn't hear from them? But, you know, they're talking about the experience to their family and friends. You know,
yeah.
It's something I've done in 71 touches me in 2015. And you realize that, yes, if you have that healing moment, if you bring that spirit in and the God connection to God and earth, that people won't forget you. They may not talk to you. They may not buy your books. But they will never forget that experience that they had with you. And
well, my music goes back to 1990 with this flute music, you know. So it's not as far back as 1971, but over the last, how many years is that? Well, whatever how many years it is, there have been so many people who have used my music when they were giving birth and who played my music in their child's room like every day for 15 years, you know, until they became a teenager, you know. So there's a lot of people who have grown up on my music, and there is a lot of souls that came into their body, into this physical body as a baby, and their mother wanted the first sound for them to hear to be my music, my flute music. And you know, that's a beautiful thing.
That's a beautiful thing. And one other place, I have a friend who owns an ashram. I'm not going to mention any names. It's got 100 and some rooms in it. And they have a room called the music room. And the music room plays music 24 hours a day, and the walls soak up the music. You, Stephen Halpern, a couple of other, Gold, whatever his name is, a couple of other CDs who have been playing in there for years over and over, and there's not been one moment of silence in this room. And you walk into the room, and the first thing you do is hold your breath so you can catch up to the room. And then you breathe, and it is amazing. It is amazing to be in a room that has been blessed with sound. how old is that room now? 15 years old, 16 years old. I had to walk into that room that had music going for 24 hours a day, and good music. So that seems to be a blessing. We're coming up on our commercial break here, and we will be right back with David Young from DavidYoungMusic.com.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
And we're here with the famous musician David Young. David, have you ever done pieces for people who've requested pieces like soul music or a piece that you write especially for them?
Well, I started making these CDs that were called musical affirmations about 4 years ago. I was going through a giant shift. That was when George started showing up in my life, and so I had worked with affirmations before. You know, you write them on a post-it note, you put them around, you keep reminding yourself. But because I'm musical, I would end up singing my affirmation to myself, and I found that there was a power to that, and there was more energy in it when I would sing it to myself versus when I would just speak it to myself. So I ended up making 6 musical affirmation CDs. First one was, "My mind is clear, my mind is calm." Second one was, "I have everything I need and all is well." And the third one was, "I am a blessing, I am loved." There were 6 of these different CDs I made that actually got approved by the American Psychological Association, and I've exhibited at some of the psychology shows. Well, what started happening about 5 months ago is that one of my friends who is a medium and she's also a therapist, I was telling her about this, and I said, you know, there are times when I will write a personalized musical affirmation for someone where I will ask them, what is the stumbling block in your life, or what part of yourself do you wish was different that you want to change? And they'll tell me this, and then I'll turn around the words and I'll make it positive. I'll write a song on the spot in 5 minutes with this positive affirmation. And then I'll sing this into their cell phone. So they have a song that's written specifically for them and to help build confidence.
Do you loop it so it's like 3 minutes or more than just the 2 affirmations? Do you have it repeat?
Well, when I do the personalized affirmations, it's usually a 20-minute session. And so I'll actually sing it to them into their phone for 4 or 5 minutes, so they have that, and they can repeat it. Whereas on the 6 affirmation CDs that I made, those are continuous music for 6 minutes. I mean, for 60 minutes, you know.
So, what? This is something I could sell. Tell me, what do you charge for putting into the musical realm, for bringing the vibrations of the actual change into a person's life? What do you charge for doing that?
Well, it's a 20-minute session, and I charge $100 for it.
I've done
it before where you know, sometimes I'll do these.
That's underpriced.
Well, I know it's underpriced. It's just that when I do them with a, sometimes I do these daily events where we'll bring in, like, let's say, a therapist will bring in 10 of her clients, and the therapist will do readings for them, and I will do the affirmation for them, and that's $200 a person. But if somebody's going to call me up and we're going to do this over the phone, I can do it. I do it for $100, and it's like an exact remedy for exactly what they need, you know. And every single person who's ever had one of these things for me has just loved it, because, you know, there's actually science behind it. When you,
I've attended many energy psychology conventions and spoken at many of those, and I know that the science exists.
Well, the beautiful thing is that if you have words that you're trying to remember, if you have those words that are attached to a melody, the melody is encoded with the words, and it's more than 10 times as powerful. That's why if you hear the words, "Let It Be," you instantly hear that Beatles melody and those words in your head, because the words and the melody, you know, the words are stored in the left side of your brain, the melody is stored in the right side of your brain, and so now your right and left side of your brain are, you know, connecting. You know?
Hopping with it's, activity.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes there are things that are happening, and people come to me and say, "Star, I want to lose 100 pounds," and I'm very frank, and I say, "Well, we got to work on your sexual abuse." And they're like, "Oh, I didn't want to deal with that." You know, and sometimes being a healer, people say to me, "My stumbling block is I can't succeed," and really it's a fear of success. So I have to tell them to love success. And some people I have to tell them to earn success because they think that they're going to win the lottery. I mean, this is a big disease. I have many people who think, and they will for $3 eventually.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, this is a very interesting because I never know what God's going to say and put in my mouth to be those words that come out. And I imagine that you've had a few surprises.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes, I mean, if somebody has a simple thing, like let's say they don't have any confidence, well, then it's easy to, you know, write something that brings them confidence, that they would sing to themselves and sing along with what I put into their cell phone. But there have been times when I've had people tell me, you know, what their problem is, what they want to change, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a clue what I'm going to write. I have no idea, and I've got 5 minutes to do it. And so, you know, I'll just surrender to spirit. And if I don't come up with anything, then George comes up with something or John comes up with something. And I don't ever advertise it when I do these affirmations for people that George and John are helping me write it for them. Because that would almost sound like, I don't know what you would describe it as, but it's true. I mean,
I get it, and I get, you know, that my best Buddhist friend channels Jesus, and one of my Christian friends channels Buddha, but none of my Christian friends channel Jesus. You know what I mean? I get that real strongly when I'm with people, and I don't find it a problem or even in a question in my mind that your channels channeling George and John. It's not even a question. It's a fact thereof. Yeah. And many times I won't say, you know, what's going on. You know, some people come to me and say, what's the matter with me? And I say, you're an asshole. And my business partner says, can't you just say that a little differently? I go, no. I go, you know, you're hiding money from your wife of 27 years who raised your children. You stepped on your partner. And he goes, oh, God, I am an asshole. You know? And sometimes being so frank is not always the easiest thing. But sometimes for people, it gets right in their center.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, you know, when you write a book, you don't sit down and outline it. You sit down and you write the book because it comes from God. Nothing ever comes from me. No healing ever comes from me. None of my books, none of my classes, they all come from a higher source. And I'm like the drinking straw in the Coca-Cola between God and these people. And I really think that you should do a little bit more advertising about these CDs. I could pick it up that you were doing this, but I didn't see it on the website.
Yeah, my website is being reworked right now. If somebody's listening to the show and if they want to have a musical affirmation, they can just write me a letter through the website. There's, you know, a contact part.
Which is?
DavidYoungMusic.com. But my website over the next couple of weeks will be updated, and all of this musical affirmation, the personalized one, will be on there. And, you know, I want to say something. You made a good point about your Buddhist friends are getting messages from Jesus and your Christian friends are getting messages from Buddha. You know, sometimes we choose to live in a box, and spirit wants to show us that it's a big world out there, you know, and that God's working through all different things, Buddhism, Christianity, all the different religions, you know. And I think it makes sense that your Buddhist friends would get visited by Jesus and your Christian friends would get visited by Buddha.
Yeah, well, first couple of times they do, they have a lot of comments about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure, but, you know, there are many ways to connect with Source, and all of them are perfect for one person or another, but not necessarily for all people.
Mm-hmm.
David, where are you going to be in the next couple of months? I don't see a listing of events on your website.
Yeah, my website, my webmaster had to take a 2-week trip with his family, and all of my new web stuff is going to be up there very shortly. I just got back from Massachusetts and Connecticut, and this weekend I'm up in New York City. And then next weekend I have Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I'm in 3 cities or 4 cities every week, usually just on the weekends. But in March I have a bunch of Wednesday nights that are coming up with different wellness centers that, you know, have an active Wednesday
night.
Well,
right, we got to get you down to the Little Rock, Hot Springs, Memphis circuit down here and get you to touch some of the people down south.
I'd love to. Yeah, when the show's over, we can talk about our schedules and
No, I'm not going to be able to do it when we're over, but we'll talk with my assistant tomorrow.
Sure.
Hey, Mark, do we have any callers?
Yeah, hold on. Let me go ahead and do an announcement. If anybody would like to call in and ask some questions, you can call 646-716-9663. Before I bring in the caller, I do have a question for David. David, you had mentioned earlier that you do flute music as you travel around the country and do all these events every week. And I'm just wondering, I was kind of looking at your website while you were talking today, and I was just wondering if you have any of that flute music available for us to listen to, since it seems to be a good way of connecting people with different energies and guides and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. If you see on the top of the webpage, on the homepage, it says meditation music. See the word meditation?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that has, I think I've, I kind of lose count because I'm always making more CDs, but there's got to be.
David, I think he's asking you another question. Do you have a webinar or a live event that would be broadcast where people could log on and listen to it?
You know, I haven't done that yet. I think that's a great idea. There's something on YouTube if people want to see me play the two flutes.
Oh, well, that would be beautiful, David. But I suggest that listening to your music is wonderful and all that other stuff, but to be connected to your presence when you're playing, and if you go someplace and you can set a audio or a audio-visual hookup and people can join from all over the world to listen to you, I love that idea. And you can talk, you know, you can talk to people about that. Mark, that was a great suggestion.
Yeah, I was kind of connecting with that because I was like, wow, you know, such an incredible, you know, talent. So, you know, being able to kind of see that and hear that and connect with the flute music. And it's funny because I'm going through and I was looking at everything but the meditation tab. And I'm going through all your different music and I'm like, I don't see anything that has flutes in it. So, all right, hold on. Let me bring Donna on.
Okay.
All right, Donna, you're on.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Fine, Donna.
Hello, Donna.
What's your question, sweetie?
My question is, I haven't been in a relationship for a while, and the last couple months I've been on an internet dating site, and I extended it for another 6 months, and I wanted to know if you see me meeting someone through this venue, or will I meet someone another way, or if is someone coming in?
Okay, Donna, are you on your time?
I was on that one, yeah.
Okay, what my guys are hearing is that's the one where you'll meet somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
And
our time or something like that,
Yeah, it's
right?
For people over 40 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And I feel my guys are standing next to me and saying that that would be the best one for you.
I was on that one for a month, but nothing came of it, really.
You have to work it. You have to chat. Yeah. You have to flirt. It's about the energy that you put in. That I wouldn't know anything about it, being happily married for 23 years, but I have, 600 women who I'm advising who are, on different stuff like that. And remember, trust your gut. Pictures can be 20 years old. People can say the perfect thing for you. But when you're on those sites, you need to trust your intuition. David, do you have a comment for her?
Well, I'm glad you answered that because I didn't get it. I thought you were going to ask me a question about my music. I didn't really expect you to ask me that. I wish you the best of luck.
We'll get a little bit of everything. So thank you, Donna, and pay attention. Put in at least, a good half hour a day on that.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, Mark, do we have anybody else needing advice?
No, I think we're good for now.
All right, so we're coming up on the last 15 minutes of our show, and I really know that I have a few really good musicians out there listening to this show tonight. I have some very spiritual musicians, and I have a few musicians who shouldn't be musicians. What advice do you have to people just coming into their music and coming into the world of music?
Well, the first thing is you got to put your heart into it, and you have to. It's kind of unique because music is part of the entertainment industry, and most of the time, musicians don't think of themselves as entertainers. And you have to find something to do with your talent that really separates you from everybody else out there. If you think of anybody who, over the years, that was very famous, like Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles or Led Zeppelin, these were people who did a whole bunch of things visually and musically to separate themselves from everybody else, until I started playing two flutes at one time, it just really, it just wasn't impressive enough. That may sound bad, but you have to do something that people are never going to forget. Try to find a way to do something that totally makes you unique. When the Beatles came out, they had those haircuts. Nobody had those haircuts. Nobody looked like them and sounded like them, So I would say try to think of yourself in, try to do something interesting and unique, and do something that's universal enough that it reaches a wide range of people.
Now, I am a taskmaster, and somebody says to me, I want to be a great folk singer. I say, you have to practice for 5 hours a day. They say, but Star, I only have an hour. Get up an hour earlier in the morning, stay up an hour later. I am a taskmaster of practice. Many musicians just think, like many people, that they'll win the lottery. Tell me what you feel about practice and how much have you practiced this lifetime?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I get asked a lot of times in interviews, what can we do to get our kids to practice more? And that always makes me laugh because when I was a kid, my parents were always trying to figure out how they could get me to practice less because I was playing 5 hours a day. I just loved it. It just made me feel good. It was a way of releasing, frustration when you're a kid, So you can
practice.
Now,
do you practice now?
Well, now I don't really practice the flute. And if I'm working on writing a song, then I'll be working on writing the song. I don't necessarily practice because I've been playing for 45 years now.
I got that. So. And I'm going to tell you what I tell musicians. If you can't practice at least 2 or 3 hours a day, then you wanting to be a musician comes from your ego, not from your heart.
Well, this is true. This is true.
And people
get
really upset with me with that, but I know you probably have thousands of hours of practice built up.
Oh, I need 5 calculators to figure out how many. I used to write a song every day. besides the time I was spending practicing, you know.
And that's
the music
and the words, right?
Right. Yeah, the words are the challenge. The words are the thing that, you know, no musician really wants to hear it, that anybody could. Writing good music is easy compared to writing great lyrics. It's that's where the challenge is, because that's really what do you believe in, what do you stand for, and what do you have to say that's coming from your soul that's going to touch somebody else, you know? The words are 90% of it. It seems like the music is 50-50, but it's the words are really 90%.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not gonna hear the same story from an opera and a country western song, and
sure.
Somebody who says love in a very deep bass voice, depending who it is, that's how they resonate love. And back in the 60s and 70s, we had all those wonderful handsome men with those bass voices that you go, my God, how can they go that low? And they talk about love. You know, the lights down low. You know, and you'd hear, and they'd say love, and it would be the vibrational. And you can't sing a love song when you can't love yourself.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, when the lyrics match the energy of the music, that, and your energy of the word love, and an energy that another 50 singers could sing with their energy of love, and it's still. You could feel whatever love feels like to you. Music is a interesting place to be, and I know you've seen it. I've seen it from the Beatles to God knows what. There's types of music now I don't even know how to name. You know, like steampunk rock stuff. You know, I mean, there's types of music that I can't. And music changes as the people change.
But you know what? What you're saying is true, but the unique thing about what's happening right now is that the baby boomers, which is the largest demographic that we have, at least in Western society, in North America, right? There's all of these people who are between 50 and 70 years old, and these people grew up with a certain style of music, and because there's more people, you know, between 50 and 70 than there are people between 20 and 30, that the music that we grew up listening to in the 60s and 70s, that music is not getting old, because that audience of the baby boomers love that style of music. So
yeah, all the new kids who were dead musicians are reincarnating and playing that same music over again. You know,
I
still have to see someone sit down or lay down in my church, and I can play the classic Paco Bell Canyon in Day. They will move through something. They will move through their heart. They will move through energy. And some of the great classical musics played in an appropriate environment. I don't care if they're 400 or 500 years old.
I've recorded Paco Bell's Canyon at least 5 times, and there's a video on YouTube of me playing Paco Bell's Canyon that's from a movie that I'm in called Village of Dreams. So if you can figure out how to spell Paco Bell's Canyon and put my name in, that can show up. But there's the main video I connect people with on YouTube. If you just do a search for David Young Bliss, B-L-I-S-S, that was a CD that I did. That's a video of me playing 2 flutes with 3 incredible ballet dancers from UCLA.
Ballet or belly?
Ballet.
Oh,
we couldn't
okay.
find any belly dancers, so we got
okay.
ballet.
Uh-huh. I mean, either one would be appropriate, you know.
yeah.
I just didn't hear you right there for a second. You kind of bleeped out. I will look it up after this show. So David Young Bliss on your YouTube search, people.
Yep.
So what other advice do you have for my people who listen to music? I know one of the things that I say is don't play the TV in the background while you're listening to music.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and have all sorts of other stuff going on. What advice do you have to your music listeners?
Well, I've created so many different kinds of music. It's like you have different kinds of food for different kind of occasions and different times of the year, and you know, you have different music for different times of the year, and I mean for the different times of the day. My meditation CD, I would advise people not to listen to that when they're driving.
I also tell people not to eat when standing up. And unless you're dancing, don't listen to music when you're standing up. Relax, sit down, you know, unless you're dancing. So that's kind of important. And also,
I think it's not a bad idea if somebody enjoys playing an instrument, play along with a recording that you love. You don't necessarily have to have the music written, you know, like a music book to play along with something. If you play an instrument and you have a CD you really enjoy, play along with it. It'll inspire you and it'll make you feel like you're playing in a band instead of just playing by yourself.
I think that's pretty important too. I hadn't thought about that aspect of, you know, getting a musical instrument and just strumming along. I think that's pretty empowering.
And you know what? If you're a musician, I would think that most people who are listening to your show are people who are awake spiritually.
Correct.
And you know, you can ask inwardly for your guides to write with you, or to show you something unique or different that you haven't thought of playing before, or a technique, or, you know, ask your guides to become part of your music and, you know, try to put that intention out there when you go to sleep, because there's incredible experiences that you can have in the dream state, because it's such an unlimited, the spiritual worlds are so unlimited, and there are so many wonderful musicians who are on the heavenly side of life, who really love sharing their talent and their love for music with people. I couldn't even count. I mean, George and John and I, in the last year, have literally written 50 songs with words, the whole thing. You know, the words are the challenging part. The people who are listening out there, open it up to whoever your favorite musician is, if they've already crossed over and are on the heavenly side, just open your heart to them and put it out there. Ask Spirit to connect you with somebody on the other side, and you'll be amazed at the experiences that you have. It's so simple. It's almost ridiculous.
I remember in the early 60s, I think it was 1960, I hitchhiked down through South America, spent a year or so doing that by myself, and I was in some plaza, and there was this little girl, and she was dancing to music with her spirit guides. I could see her spirit guides, and I could hear the music, and this little girl had her hands on her skirt and her eyes closed, and her spirit guides were dancing, and I could hear the music she was dancing to, but nobody else seemed to be listening. And your guides have a way of bringing music to you that will make you dance if you pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad when I go see some place and there's music and I see people's spirit guides laying on the floor, snooping through people's books, and not even paying attention to their human, because their human hasn't paid that much attention to them. So ask your spirit guides, bring me a song that can heal me. Let me talk to a musician who's crossed. Bring me an instrument for me to play. Yeah, somebody will come over and say, can you watch my house? Don't you have 3 guitars over there? Yeah, can I bring one over here? You know, it will happen for you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, David, could you give us your website one more time?
Sure. It's davidyoungmusic.com.
And thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.